Good morning, everybody. Welcome and thanks for joining us today at our Ashworth Worship Experience online. As you can tell, today is a little bit different. First off, I'm tired of preaching to an empty room, so because Amy is always the most vocal, I've asked her to join me. She's just going to be an amen corner.
Yes.
Amen corner. Let's hear it, Amy. Let's hear some amens.
Amen. Yeah, preach.
That's right. See, that's all I need.
I do miss that. If you yes. talk about that in the chat often.
You do.
I'm like, preach, preach, Brent.
That's right. That's right. No, Amy is not here just to be my personal amen corner. She's here because it's Mother's Day and we need our token lady pastor.
Oh my.
I'm just kidding.
I'll see you guys later. Bye.
No one knows this, Amy, but that is like your least favorite reference of all time. And so I didn't prepare her that I was going to say that ahead of time.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help us.
Oh, so no, I'm just kidding. You're not here because of Mother's Day. No, we're trying to keep our messages changed up a little bit where it's not just one individual you're hearing. And so Amy is here to kind of give voice to a passage. And to be fair, we are looking at a passage that I was not going to ask you to speak on because it's a traditional passage a woman might speak on.
Yeah. And
but you volunteered, so that's
I did. It so wasn't all you.
It wasn't me. So, but you know what's interesting about this passage, Amy, is that as we dig into it, as we start, it can be a very guilt-inducing passage, don't you think?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. For sure.
I'm scared. Yes. Well, I'm scared to kind of say what it is because I'm afraid people might go, done with this today.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
No, stay with us. Stay with us. You know, we're in the series where we're talking about questioning Jesus, the questions to, by, and around Jesus and how they shape our faith. And today we come to a question where it's a question asked to Jesus by a close friend of his, somebody that loved him and that he loved, and he's a guest in their house. And it's probably a passage many of you are familiar with. And as we said, it can be guilt-inducing, but we want to try today to take the guilt out of it. And also today, we want to kind of get to a place where we say, this isn't just a passage for women, right, Amy? It's not just about the moms out there.
Yeah, it's not just a passage for women. It's a passage about discipleship.
It's about, and that applies to all of us. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 today. And what we find is the story that we know as the story of Mary and Martha. And let me just read this passage to kick us off here. It's just a few short verses. It says, "And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him." And notice that it says opened her home, because that to me is kind of a significant part of the story. This is, you know, she's going to be a host here to some guests at her house. "She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet to listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her.'" Amy, just as a cursory look right there at that passage, what stands out to you right there?
Ooh, okay, we're jumping right in. I think
just right in.
Yes, I think what stands out to me is priority, and what the passage says about priority. It feels like there's two kind of different priorities, both important, but Martha's priority to like get the house ready, clean, prepare for this guest that she's hosting that is Jesus.
And nothing wrong with that. And nothing inherently sinful or bad. I mean, and you know, we were talking earlier before we were recording, Martha often gets a really bad rap when people speak on this message, because it's like, even I can remember a book my wife had at one point called Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World.
Seen it. It's on every woman's bookshelf.
Woman's book. Yeah, exactly. But Martha gets such a bad rap. And I think we do need to let people know that this isn't, I mean, there's no real criticism here that says you're doing a terrible thing. It's just that there's two options And there's a better option in this moment that needs to be taken care of and paid attention to. And Martha's not paying attention to that. But yeah, that's, you're exactly right. There's two priorities. Right. Anything else that jumps out at you there?
Right. I think the, so the piece for the priority piece that I'm thinking about is that it feels like there's like an urgent versus important thing going on here. And that's what jumps out at me, because that's what I resonate with all the time. And I think especially in like quarantine life right now, the urgent, you know, working from home, working from home with kids.
It's all about putting out fires, right? I mean, right now it's everything like, is urgent.
Yes, everything feels urgent. And it's like, well, of course I have to do that. I have to do laundry. I have to do the dishes. I have to do other things. And when and if I have time, okay, like I would love to sit at your feet, Jesus. Is that realistic right now in my life? You know. And so as I read this passage, I feel that tension of the urgent and the important. And I think especially even without quarantine life, and even not just being a woman, but like Americans in general, we typically value the urgent, or like addressing what's right in front of us, dealing with the immediate need and fixing things. And
well, part of that too is because there's an expectation that people have on us, right? That if something happens, if you don't jump right in and take care of it, people are like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Even if you were to say, well, but I'm dealing with the important, they would go, no, but you need to deal, you know, you need to get on the urgent.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it like, I don't know if you grew up with this phrase, but like my dad would say, don't just sit there, like do something, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So, I think that applies to all of us. But you know, as we look at this passage, the question that Martha asks to me is a very interesting question, because it's phrased as something as a parent that I'm confident that I've heard from my children. Not to say Martha's a child, but the way she phrases it is kind of with an expectation. So the question she says is, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me, you know? Yeah. And so I think as a parent, you know, I've thought about my kids. Well, don't you care, Dad, that I'm not going to have the supplies I need? I'm not going to have the new shoes. I'm not going to have the new clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like looking for his affirmation, or like,
absolutely.
Well, yes, I care, Martha.
You exactly. Know? That's what she wants, right? Because nobody's going to say, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. Except me. My kids would say, I would say that. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you do. Martha's kind of looking at Jesus going, well, yes, I care. You're right. Mary, get up. Go help your sister in the kitchen.
Right.
But then Jesus just kind of takes it and kind of turns it upside down. And, you know, it's a fascinating question to me, because she asks it in a way to get a certain answer that she doesn't get.
And she does not get that answer.
And then Jesus turns it around on her to talk about what you were talking about earlier, just the difference between the important and the urgent, and the service and the sitting at Jesus's feet. And, you know, one of the things as I looked at this passage this week, I told you earlier that, We meet on Mondays to have what we call message community, and we discuss this for about an hour with you, me and Ryan. And I left that meeting very unsettled. And I was very unsettled because, you know, we left that meeting just with the idea that this passage is all about, you just need to go spend time at the feet of Jesus. Just spend more time at the feet of Jesus. But as I told you, Amy, if I don't, I'm spending time at the feet of Jesus, but if I'm not sitting in this chair right now, who's doing this message with you? If I don't take this on Friday morning and edit it and put it with the music and produce it and upload it, we're going to be sitting staring at empty screens on Sunday morning. Yeah. And that's not unimportant.
Right, right.
And I think as a mom, you know that too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there are things that just have to get done. And I felt this, I've heard this sentiment in a lot of ways from a lot of folks, where it's like, I just don't, I understand the value of like resting. You know, we've talked about, we just did a message a few weeks ago on rest in the midst of quarantine, but it feels like I don't have time to do that, or there's things that need to get done, you know, and so you want me to sit at the feet of Jesus. But the reality is like, there is work to be done when you're hosting someone. You should probably have a place for them to sit, something for them to eat or drink or something, you know?
Yeah.
So Martha, you know,
I think the challenge for us though is that many times we do have the Martha problem, in that the word I think I wrote down, yeah, says Martha was distracted. Mm-hmm. Distracted by the preparations. And that word really stuck out to me a lot, because I think for many of us, we get distracted. It is distracted by the urgent, but sometimes it is distracted by the everyday. It's distracted by the dinner that needs to be made, the clothes that need to be mm-hmm. folded. Mm-hmm. And what we have to remember, as I said earlier, is it's not like the way this is recorded, we're told that Martha was doing something wrong. She's not out getting drunk at the bar, you know, and doing sinful things. She's doing good things. But, you know, unfortunately, I think for many of us, we easily get distracted. We get busy. Mm-hmm. And what happens, at least for me, I won't speak for you, but when I get busy, the first thing that usually goes for me is mm-hmm. my time with Jesus. It's the easiest thing to mark off the calendar. It's the easiest thing to just kind of say, oh, mm-hmm. I'll get to that later. And then later doesn't usually come. Is that how it is for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think about it as like, I usually address external things always before internal things, yeah. even though I'm a healer, you know, I'm like addressing what needs to be dealt with out here, what I can see, you know, the like tangibles. And then I start to realize like, wow, I'm feeling a lot of things inside that I haven't addressed or dealt with. And I think even in our culture, and especially I think in my world, I'm like, it's easy for me to value what I can see and what's external.
Yeah.
But the inner world that I have and that I carry and my relationship with Jesus matters so much.
Yeah.
Even in this time of quarantine, one of the scriptures that God's been highlighting for me is John 15, a familiar passage for a lot of you probably, but the vine and the branches and like remaining in the vine, remaining in Jesus. And this idea of like, we're literally told to like, stay put, you know, remain in your house. And Jesus has been speaking to me, like remain in me. And it's that same kind of idea. I feel like it's an invitation to like actually consider what's going on in my relationship with Jesus and my internal world, because everything, my eyes and all my work is focused on everything externally right now.
But because it's internal and it's not tangible.
Yeah.
Ryan and I function very similar sometimes in that we like to-do lists. And so I'll have a note card, and it's nice to be able to go check, check, check. But it's really difficult when it comes to spending time with Jesus to feel like it's not just the to-do list and you have that merry moment where you're just kind of sitting and learning and growing, you know, for me, because I want the feeling of accomplishment. And sometimes sitting at the feet of Jesus doesn't come with a feeling of accomplishment, at least for me.
But it's interesting in this passage, I was thinking of the same thing, because even though I'm very relational, I'm like, oh, I love to sit with Jesus and talk. And, you know, there is something about like, okay, but I'm not going to sit still. Like, there's stuff to be done and things to do. And I want to be productive and I want to feel productive. And it's interesting because it feels like even in the John 15 passage, in connection with this, it's like, in order to actually be fruitful, like fruit comes when we remain with Jesus. And, and so it's like Mary is choosing what's better. She's choosing like relationship that will last. And as she chooses that, then she has the energy and the wherewithal to like keep going to serve and to do the things that God's inviting her to do.
And I think we all feel that when we spend time with Jesus, we feel the refreshment, we feel sometimes the spiritual growth that's taking place. But I don't think we often realize what the distractions do to us. And I think as we looked at this passage, you know, it's very interesting because there were at least three different things I saw that jumped out at me that Martha struggled with because she was distracted. And of course, you know, if you've listened to my sermons any at all, one of the things I talk about a lot is our perspective. What are we looking at? What are we focused on? And this is another example where we find Martha focused on things that aren't necessarily wrong or bad, but they are distractions from what's most important. But those distractions lead her first to a place of comparison where, you know, she begins to say, well, look at Mary. Why does she get to be over there? And I do have to throw this in that this was a huge cultural taboo. I mean, the fact that Mary is in the living room, women and men did not mix in that room. In fact, one of the commentaries I read said women were with men in the bedroom, outside, and basically their place was in the kitchen for everything else. I didn't make those rules, Amy. Don't come to me. So Mary being in that room could have had some, you know, social impact on Martha to be like, what is she doing in there? Because this is scandalous.
Martha was doing what was woman's culturally work. Appropriate.
Woman's work, like, right?
She's the good woman. Yeah. That's Mary, right. Scandalous, like sitting, you know.
And not just that, but Mary, by sitting at Jesus's feet, there is, if you develop that thought on out, it is because she's learning from the rabbi, she's learning from the teacher so that she could become a disciple maker, a rabbi, a teacher herself, you know, N.T. Wright was kind of, he's the commentator that I read this week that he kind of brought this insight in. And I thought, wow, this is a moment where Jesus is not pushing back to go, that's right, Mary, you shouldn't be in here. The men should be learning now and becoming rabbis and teachers. So you know, this is an affirming place for a woman that Jesus is allowing her to stay.
Yeah.
But Martha, go ahead. You were going to say something.
And actually saying it's better.
This is a good thing.
Choosing the better thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Learning and like being a disciple of mine so that you can make disciples. Like, yes. Okay, we hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But Martha's distracted, and so she gets comparing herself. Well, look at me. What am I doing? Mary's over there, you know. And I think that's a reminder for us that we too can get distracted when we get stuck in that rhythm of do 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 do, and we don't stop and sit with Jesus. I think we begin to compare and we say, "Well, what are they doing? Look at all that I'm doing. I'm working hard for Jesus." And I think that's a problem. I know it is for me sometimes.
Yeah.
And not only is it comparison, but then it talks about how Jesus calls her out and he says, "You are worried and upset about many things." And so it made me think that, you know, when we don't spend the time with Jesus, when we're not growing and learning and becoming more like Jesus, I think, I don't know about you, but especially in this season of quarantine with producing videos and recording worship sets and messages and things, I find if I'm not taking care of that spiritual side, my worry is increasing. Mm-hmm. My staff and my family might say that there's been a little bit of anxiety and upsetness. Good answer, Amy, while you're on video. She'll type something in the chat window Sunday morning to correct that record, I'm sure. But it's this constant reminder that not taking care of the most important thing does have a lot of negative impact and a lot of negative repercussions for us if we're not careful.
Yes. I don't like myself. I mean, I can tell. I'm like, ooh, that is not me. You know, that's not Amy. Like, why am I acting like that or being like that, you know?
Yeah, you send a text message, you say something on a phone call, and you're like, oh, crap.
Dang.
delete.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those moments. But it's true. It's like I can get like weary. And again, that's that internal life that doesn't feel urgent, but it's so important. And when I've been Mary and been sitting at Jesus' feet, even though it's very rare that I'm actually sitting down at Jesus' feet, like, you know, like just listening and soaking all in the tea, you know, a lot of the sitting at Jesus' feet for me during quarantine, especially, has looked like, while I'm doing dishes and I've got worship cranked up, you know, or folding laundry or on a walk, you know, it's been like while I'm doing like everyday things that I find this connection with Jesus. But when I spend time there, I can tell, and so can the people around me, you know, there's a
yes, they can.
Fruit that's born, you know, there's something, you can see why Jesus said it's better.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with this perspective problem that she had, it wasn't just comparison and worry and being upset, you know, it skewed everything for her. You know, I mean, as I was reading it this afternoon, I thought, you know, all she can see in this moment is Mary, but Jesus is in her house. You know, Jesus is there. Yeah. And it's like, seriously, that's what you want to say right now? Yeah. You know, and I think, and another thought I had too, was just that, you know, sometimes when our perspective gets off, it causes us to be very tunnel visioned and we see only a singular solution. You know, in this moment, Martha sees one possible solution, and that's tell Mary to come help me fix the food. Mm-hmm. And when we allow Jesus to speak into our lives, He can show us, maybe there's another way, there's another solution, there's another alternative that we would never see unless we gave Jesus the opportunity to speak into our lives. So I think that's so important.
Good.
Yeah, it's good. You know, what I love about this passage overall, though, is that, number one, even Jesus is not, you know, Martha, you're a terrible person, you're doing bad thing. You know, even in the way he addresses her, Martha, Martha, there's a compassion.
He loves her.
He does. And there's a compassion in his tone to say, you know, look, sweetheart, I love you. But as he speaks to her, it's an invitation to her. Mm-hmm. It's an invitation to her to say, Martha, why don't you come sit here at my feet? I'm offering that to you to come and learn and grow and be a disciple of mine, you know, and I love that. And I think as we read this, it's a reminder that it's an invitation for all of us, that Jesus is still extending to us, that among the million tasks that we're trying to accomplish. And I think about all the parents that have been quarantined for 8 or 9 weeks now. And some of you, God bless you, are trying to homeschool your children and trying to work from home and all this. I mean, you can feel right now. I mean, if you're like me, you feel pressure physically on your shoulders from just the weight of it. And in this moment, what I want you to hear is just Jesus looking at you saying, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your race is, it doesn't matter what your gender is, it doesn't matter what your background is, come sit at the feet of Jesus. And I do want to make kind of one contrast here. You know, we did talk about that rest message, Ryan, and I did a message on rest a couple of weeks ago. That's really not what we're talking about here, though, because really what we're talking about is purposefully sitting at the feet of Jesus to listen, to grow, to learn, to become, you know, and I think that's a critical piece here, that it's not just learning to become smarter, it's learning to become like. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal here, is to sit at Jesus' feet, to abide in him, you know, the John 15, not just so we can go, okay, I know more about Jesus than I did 15 minutes ago. It's so that the Spirit has an opportunity to work in us and to develop the fruit of the Spirit in us that doesn't really have an opportunity to take place unless we have those moments of reflection.
Right, right. And it's the relationship. It just feels like it's the relationship. Like if you could take in all kinds of information, I mean, we can go to a million Bible studies and do that, you know?
Yep.
I just want to seek God. And I like, they learn and learn and learn and read and read and read. But like, if you're not actually, the piece you see there too is like, she is with Jesus. He's in her home. They're talking, like it's relationship. Like you said, so in order that she's a disciple and can be more like Jesus.
Absolutely.
Come through relationship.
Yeah. And Christians can sometimes, because we're task oriented, we make our relationship with Jesus, another task to be accomplished.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm speaking for myself only because that's what I can do, but I have to be very careful to see it as a relationship and not read my Bible, pray, you know, and then move on with the day and let it become a relationship.
Yeah. And I mean, like you were saying, what a beautiful invitation. Like Jesus legitimately is like giving us this story to say, hey, I want to sit with you. Like I want to teach you and I want to listen to you. I want to have a relationship with you.
Yeah. And even as you were saying that, my mind went to Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus John is writing about the seven churches. And the last one is the church at Laodicea, where it says they become lukewarm. Yeah. My pet peeve is when Christians use that passage as an evangelism passage. Oh, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. No, that passage was written to a church. It's a bunch of Christians who have become lukewarm. But it's Jesus knocking on the door saying, I will come in and I will eat with you and you with me. And there's the solution, the medicine for a weary and lukewarm heart is honestly sitting at Jesus' feet, eating a meal with Jesus, spending time with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it is a beautiful invitation. But as we wrap up things here, Amy, you know, the thing I want people to hear today is that, as I said, it's not to be unsettled the way I was when we first approached it. There is, in Christianity, in your Christian life, in your discipleship, there is a need for both service and reflection. Mm. I mean, both of those should be parts of who you are and what yeah. you're doing in your life. There is work to be done, but it has to be done in balance with spending time with Jesus. You know, we can't focus on one or the other. And unfortunately, because we sometimes sway, lean too much to the do side, we mm-hmm. need to balance that back again with the spending time with Jesus. Yeah. In fact, I quoted something to you earlier. I read in a commentary this week. I thought it was great where it was, it said, action and contemplation are both important. Mm-hmm. Without the first, you wouldn't eat. And without the second, you wouldn't worship. And I love the word worship there in that quote yeah. because I thought, man, doesn't that really describe it? That yeah. it is harder for us to worship when we haven't spent time at the feet
yeah.
of Jesus.
Well, we don't have a relationship with the God we're worshiping. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's good.
You know, right now, many of the people listening to this, you know, all of our lives have been disrupted. You know, some of our tasks are unable to be done. But I do want us to kind of close today with just the thought, you know, well, let me say this. Close with this. If we look at Jesus and say, don't you care? The answer for Jesus may not be a yes or no answer for you either. Mm-hmm. It may be, you know, you're worried about a lot of stuff, but maybe the most important thing for you right now is to spend time at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope that that's the point that people mm-hmm. take away from today. Is that the only way we can keep going is by spending more time at Jesus's feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Amy, you shared this week that a story that I thought was funny. You said that this past weekend you had a friend come over and mm-hmm. you want to share that.
I had a moment. I think of myself as being like very relational. I'm like, oh, I'm totally a Mary. I will always choose to hang out with Jesus or whoever comes to my house. Like, but no, the more stressed I am and the more like overwhelmed I am, or the more I have to do, the less relational I get because I'm like, I gotta get these things done. And so it was this weekend. There was one night late where a friend of mine texted me, it was like 9 o'clock or something. And she's like, hey, I've got muffins for you. I'm going to stop by. And I'm thinking,
don't stop by.
Thank you. But like, I got stuff to do, you know,
porch.
Like, yeah, I just got the kids to bed and I still have all these other things. Like, and, so she did leave them on the porch because we're social distancing. But of course I went out and said hi because I'm relational. So I had to say hi. And then we ended up having a really sweet conversation. And it was funny to me. I had this moment where I thought, you know, prior to this, I'm like, what I need right now is not a friend to come chat with and mm-hmm. have a relationship. Like, I just need to get these last few things done and go to bed.
Yeah.
But after just, you know, 20, 30 minutes of conversation with her and she leaves and we shared some stuff from our hearts with each other. And I thought, wow, that's what I needed, you know, and what a picture that is of like, even in our own relationship with Jesus, yeah. where so often the thing that we actually do need is to be Mary and to take a minute, step away from all your stuff yeah. and the things that you are doing and all the stress that you're holding. And talk with Jesus and listen to him and have a relational connection.
Yeah.
And so I left that thinking, oh, that actually was what I needed. And I didn't even realize it.
Yeah. I think many people today could ask the same question that Martha did, you know,
yeah.
Jesus, don't you care about my job? Don't you care about my finances? Yeah. Don't you care about my health? Don't you care yeah. about what I'm doing for you? But, you know, I think today what I hope people hear is that Jesus is speaking. And to me, he's just looking at me and he's saying, Brent, come mm-hmm. have a seat.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, I want to challenge everybody today. How can you not just rest because it's beyond rest, but how can you be intentional in having a seat with Jesus yeah. today? Or this week at some point, because we all know when we get spent and we get to the end and we get frantic and we compare and we're worrying and upset, but what can we do? And we have to be intentional because it's not going to happen otherwise, because the urgent will always take place and go above and beyond the important.
Yeah.
How can you make just spending some time? And I'm not saying make it an hour. Maybe it's 5 minutes to start with. Maybe that's all you can do. Maybe that's all you think you can spare. Take 5 minutes and figure out how can you do that this week and see how spending time at the feet of Jesus can help you as you fold clothes, as you make dinner, as you homeschool your kids, as you work at home, as you deal with everything. I can guarantee you will find that spending time with Jesus will have a tremendous impact on the rest of your day and the rest of your relationships around you. So let me pray for us and we'll wrap this up. God, thanks so much for this incredible story. And God, as I read that, I am such a Martha all the time. God, but I hear and I see in this passage an invitation for me to come and just sit and rest and take a moment. And as Amy was talking about, just to abide in you. And God, to find out how spending time with you can be so the medicine that my soul needs to rejuvenate and replenish a weary and dry soul. And so, God, I pray that you would convict me this week. Spirit of God, just move in me and challenge me every day that when I'm getting to the end and prioritizing the urgent, that God, I'll stop and I'll sit down and I'll focus on my relationship with you, not some task to be done, but just like picking up the phone, just spending time just in relationship with you. And God, mm-hmm. I pray that all of our people today would find this priority and find healing and hope in spending time at Jesus' feet. God, mm-hmm. thank you for what you're going to do through this message and through our time of worship together today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.